enough that he died for you?
Yes, it is. Thank the Lord.
Good morning. Good to see each and every one of you this morning. You open your Bibles to the book of Proverbs in chapter 16 and verse 9. Just a reminder, there will be evangelism on the first Saturday. I think it's the 6th. We'll meet here at 9 o'clock. If you can come and participate, we would love to have you. We'd like to get a big crowd out so we can get as many gospel tracts out and invitations as we can. If you don't have tennis shoes, you don't think you're up for the hike, and you'd like to come and help us stuff the hangers, then you could come at 9 o'clock. We've had some brothers and sisters come and do that. We appreciate the help. We've had other people that did the driving and followed along with the material, so you can do that. And then each and every one of us, we can set aside time to pray if you can't actually come out to the field and do the work. So we would ask you to do that. Also, Janice and I are inviting everybody over for a chili cook-off on the 13th. It's a Saturday. We'll have it at our house at 5 o'clock. We did change the date because we didn't realize the previous date. That's next Saturday is actually Halloween. And Brother Bill rebuked us for, you know, in any Halloween celebration. So we said, nope, we're not going to do it on Halloween. Actually, we found out there was going to be a beer bash in our neighborhood, and we didn't want to be involved in that. So that's why we changed the date. I've gotten a couple phone calls about, I guess they were having marital conflicts because the wife said one thing and the husband said the other, and they had to call me and figure out what was the truth. So, yeah. All right, Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 9. A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. Something to ponder. A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. And let's pray. Father in heaven, we do thank you for the opportunity to open up the Word of God this morning. We pray that it will be effectual in our hearts. We pray that if there's any lost soul in the sound of our voice, they might come to know you as their Savior. They might recognize that you are indeed Lord of Lords and you direct the steps of man. And Lord, that we would all surrender to your will and that we would be faithfully following you for your glory and for your honor. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I think the king here in writing this proverb spoke a great truth. Men do devise their ways, but it is the Lord himself that directs our steps. And there is a problem in our generation that we somehow have gotten to the place to think that we are the captains of our own fate, that we as men, we decide things. But God himself is one that decides things, and I'd like to prove that to you this morning from the scriptures, through an abundance of scriptures, so be prepared. First of all, it's not in man to direct his own steps. It's of the Lord. Jeremiah learned this. He said, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. And back in Proverbs in 20 and verse 24, man's goings are of the Lord. How can a man then understand his own way? Have you ever thought about how you got to here? From there? Have you ever looked and watched the ants as they scurry about? Do you know they have a purpose? It's actually planned. It's not just chaos. I mean, they are doing some things. Have you ever watched bees? They're buzzing around, and the things that they do that with a purpose as well. It was all designed by God. Yeah. You look at it and you have at least I do. Maybe you know better than I do, but I look at a beehive and I see the bees flying around. Makes no sense to me, but they're actually communicating. Did you ever look at your life and figure out how you got to here? How did a Michigander get to Texas of all places? When I was a boy, my father decided that it was imperative for us to learn our own state first and then other states. And so every summer we would travel all over Michigan and camp out. And then finally, when I got into our teenage years, we actually went to Florida when the Disney World opened at first. We drove down to Florida. And I just thought about the way the ants travel around in my life, going all over Michigan and scurrying, and then one trip down to Florida once, and then back to Michigan, and then once down to Mississippi to see my birth father for a week, and then back up to Michigan, and then all of a sudden, boom, to San Antonio, Texas. And then around San Antonio, Texas, and then I got to Oak Knoll. Isn't that amazing? You think that I was able to devise that? It's the Lord that directs our steps. And I don't know if you've ever seen a mosaic where you get real close and you can't see, but then you step back and you look and then you can see everything. Sometimes we get so preoccupied with the right now, what is right in front of us, that we forget that God has a plan. And it's not in us to direct our steps, it's the Lord that directs our steps. And there's some real wisdom in understanding this, because we're given admonitions in the scriptures time and time again. I'd like to give you a few of them. Look over in Proverbs and 27 and verse 1. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. You and I can, I mean, there are many of us, and probably we're all guilty of it, that we did boast of things tomorrow. And we bragged about what we were going to do tomorrow, but it didn't really turn out that way, did it? Yeah? So he gives us real sound advice. Don't be boasting yourself of tomorrow, for you don't know what's going to happen. You don't know if it's going to rain, or if the sun is going to shine. The best laid plans of mice and men, it's been said. We make plans, but it's God that determines them. Look over in Luke 12. You know this parable the Lord gave. In Luke 12, he said, a ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully, and he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. Here's his plan. Here's his devising. This is what I'll do. I'll pull down my barns, and I'll build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and marry. Look what I've done. I'll make my plans. I'm going to retire in wealth. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? Isn't that amazing? You see, a man's heart deviseth his ways, but the Lord directs his steps. In the New Testament, we find in the book of James, where he wrote in chapter 4 and verse 13, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now you rejoicing and your boasting of all such rejoicing is evil. When you think that you're the captain of your own fate and you make the decisions, that type of rejoicing is considered evil in the Lord, by the Lord who directs all your steps. Our boasting should not be in man. Our boasting ought to be in the Lord and in His grace and in His mercy. Especially when it comes to salvation. Did you know you cannot make one hair of your head white or black? You said, that's not true. I went to Walgreens and I bought some dye. The Bible didn't say you can't paint it white or black. He said you can't make it white or black, yeah? Because just as soon as you paint it, you'll paint it, and just a few days later, the true color is going to come out, and you're going to have to paint it again, yeah? Did you know you can't keep your hairs in your head? Yeah? You can buy all that stuff they sell on TV, or they used to sell on TV. I guess they sell on Amazon now, but you can buy and put the cream. I never did this. You can put the cream on. It doesn't grow. You just might as well shave it off. Yeah. So there is a passage of scripture that I would like to read, but I'm not. So I would encourage you to turn to it. I'm just going to pull out some things from it. Acts chapter 17, where Paul is speaking with these superstitious individuals who had an image set up to the unknown God. And you're probably familiar with that story, but if you'd like to read it in chapter 17, verses 22 through 31, about there in that area, you'll pick up. And I pulled out some things that I noticed when Paul began to explain to these superstitious individuals about the true God, some of the things that Paul stated, and I thought they might be pertinent and important for you and I to take thought of. He said, God that made the world and all things therein. You know, in our generation, we don't want a creator. This generation does not want a creator, because a creator tells us something, that we're not in control. The creator is in control. And so they will mock the idea of a creator. And why? Because they want to devise their own steps. They want to direct their own steps. They don't want the creator telling them what way they ought to go and what way they not ought to go. They want to make the rules. It's called pride. Job said in chapter 12, but ask now the beasts, and they shall teach thee, and the fowls of the air, and they shall tell thee. Or speak to the earth, and it shall teach thee. And the fishes of the sea shall declare unto thee, who knoweth not in all these that the hand of the Lord hath wrought this. There is no excuse. I mean, you could just look at the creation of God and know there is a creator. Amen. It takes a fool to deny a creator. Somebody that is very proud, rebellious, and a hater of God that would deny a creator. The evidence is all around us. There is a creator. And therefore, it's not for you to direct your steps. It's the creator. It's the Lord that directs our steps. Revelation chapter 4, he says, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. And there is the rift. There is the problem right there. That God created all things for his pleasure and not for yours. You had plans to fulfill your own pleasures, your own desires, but God created things for his pleasure, and you don't like that. The pride in us does not like that. We resist that consciously and unconsciously. We do not want naturally to submit to the Creator. And yet all the animals do. That's interesting. Another thing I noticed in this passage where Paul was talking to these superstitious individuals, he said, it's God that gives to all life, breath, and all things. Do you know who holds the hand, the breath of your life?
Right.
It's not a machine in a hospital somewhere. It's not your willingness to breathe. In fact, most of us don't even think about that we're breathing. But it's God that gives us breath. And every breath is the grace of God. Every breath we take, that was God giving you something. You didn't manufacture it. You didn't make it. You didn't create it. He gave it to you. And the only reason you're still breathing is because God decided it pleases him that you breathe another day. Amen. Have you ever noticed that some people walk into a hospital healthy and then die? And then you ever notice some people come out of a hospital very sickly and they live for years and years and years? You ever wonder about that? Why that is? It's God. God. You can find the best doctor in the world, and if God says, no, you're not going to live any longer, then you're not going to live any longer. You can have the best insurance plan. You can be covered by both you and your spouse and your parents. You can have all sorts of insurance plans. But if God says, today's the day, and sends the death angel knocking on your door, then that's it. Hebrews in chapter 1, it says, God, who at sundry times and divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Did you hear that phrase? Upholding all things by the word of his power. God spoke and the universe came into existence. God speaks and you have no more breath. Isn't that amazing? That's a powerful God. A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. Look in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 15. Speaking of Jesus Christ, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, for by him, that is by Christ, were all things created that are in heaven, that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him, by Christ, and for him, for Christ. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. If all things consist by him, don't you think that he ought to be worthy of glory? Do you see the pride in man that thinks that we direct our steps, but it's God Almighty that directs our steps? Look in Isaiah in chapter 46. Because in that passage in Acts, another argument that Paul gave, he said, God had determined the times before appointed. Did you know God controls the clock? I think I read somewhere in the Old Testament where he made it go backwards. Yeah? We're always looking at the clock. We got a colleague at work. I don't know why he does this. It's torturous, I guess. We'll clock in about 8 o'clock in the morning, and he says, if you left right now, you'd be in El Paso by the end of the shift. That's a long drive to El Paso, yeah. And I got another friend, he's about ready to become my enemy if he keeps on doing this, but he'll tell us what time it is during the day. Well, 2 more hours. Well, I don't want to know it's 2 more hours. He said, well, 1 more hour. And I tell him, I said, don't you know a watch pot never boils and a watch clock never ticks? Quit watching that clock, yeah. But Isaiah chapter 46 and verse 9, remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Calling a ravenous bird from the east, the man that executeth my counsel from a far country. Yea, I have spoken it. I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it, and I also do it. Amen. The point being, it's God that is in control and not you or I. It's God that has all power. It's God that keeps everything running. It's God that keeps the clock ticking. It's God that has control. It's not the doctor. It's not the priest. It's not you or I. It's not the politician. Hello. It's not the king. It's the Lord that directs our steps. And the problems that we have in our lives is when we devise our own plans and we forget about the Lord. And if we want to get into harmony and peace, then we ought to get our will so that it matches the will of the Lord. Amen. Romans in chapter 13, Paul said, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. And you thought you elected Biden. Or any other politician. Nobody gets into power unless God says so. Makes you wonder about your complaining. That was free. You're welcome. That didn't cost anything extra. I just thought I'd throw that out there. But thinking about God appointing the times and the boundaries of men's habitation. Hebrews in chapter 9 and verse 27, it says, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation." Do you realize there's an appointed day by God that your ticker is going to stop? That happens with 20-year-olds. It happens with those in the prime of life. It happens those that, you know, they eat carrot juice. They eat healthy. If you drink carrot juice and you eat healthy, you're going to die in a plane wreck. That's what's going to happen. Because there is an appointed day. Isaiah in 43, listen to what he says in verse 12. "I have declared, saith the Lord, and have saved, and I have showed, when there was no strange God among you. Therefore ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord. I am God. Yea, before the day was, I am he. And there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who shall let it? Thus saith the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. For your sake I have sent to Babylon, and I have brought down all their nobles, and the Chaldeans whose cry is in the ships. I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King." Amen. God says, I do a work, and who's going to hinder it? Who are you to contradict God? And what kind of arrogance does it take for you to defy an almighty God or to resist a God? Do you think you're going to win? In the Psalms it says in 75, "Lift not up your horn on high, speak not with a stiff neck, for promotion is coming neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. But God is the judge. He putteth down one and setteth up another." Amen. Do you realize that it's God that determines the times and the seasons? Do you realize it's God that determines who's going to rule over the kingdoms of men? And who is it? And the sooner we get to the place of realizing that and submit to the will of God, the better off it's going to be for us. Amen. Look in Matthew in chapter 6. We're troubled about many things. We're full of care and concern. We're anxious. I'm anxious. I'm nervous about many things. Jesus says in 6 and 25, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought of your life." What kind of devising you're going to do? "Take no thought of your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink." Some of you spend a week figuring out what you're going to eat and drink on Sunday. You walk around Costco and HEB trying, you're making all these plans and you have no idea that Sunday meal might be canceled. Because you're going to be invited out somewhere else. But you make all the plans. "Take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment?" Take a moment, if you will, brethren, just to ponder the statements of the Lord Jesus Christ here. Is not life more than meat and body, and the body than raiment?
Amen.
And yet, if we would calculate and think about the time we spend on the things of this life and the raiment and what we're going to eat, the amount of time and energy that goes in the planning for these things. And Jesus says there's something better than that. There's something more than that. Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? A lot of short people in the world wishing they were taller. I'm not going to mention any names. I do keep a ladder in my house. And there are a lot of tall people wishing they were shorter. But it's not for us to add to our stature. And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field. Have you ever considered the lilies of the field? How they grow? They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which is today is, and tomorrow is cast in the oven, shall he not much more clothe ye, you, O ye of little faith? Wherefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Priorities. And it appears to me, if I've deducted correctly, the Lord is saying, if you spend all your time worried about how to pay the bills and how to clothe yourself and how to feed yourself, you are a man of little faith. Because those that know not God, those that have an image to the unknown God, they're concerned about all those things. And are you not much more important than those? Lift not up your horn on high. Speak not with a stiff neck, for promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. But God is the judge. He putteth down one, and he set up another. Or as our text says, a man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. It's God that's in control. Now, we have some examples here I'd like to give you this morning. Do you remember Pharaoh? I think Brother Bill mentioned him a little bit in his message this morning. Moses goes down there and has the audacity, or I should say the faith, to say to Pharaoh, let my people go. And Pharaoh says, I'm not going to do it. And then we pick it up here. We pick up the story in Exodus chapter 9. The Lord said unto Moses, rise up early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh, and say unto him, thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, let my people go that they may serve me. For I will at this time send all my plagues upon thine heart and upon thy servants and upon thy people, that thou mayest know that there is none like me in all the earth. For now I will stretch out my hand, and I will smite thee and thy people with pestilence, and thou shalt be cut off from the earth. And in very deed for this cause have I raised thee up, for to show in thee my power, that my name may be declared throughout all the earth. As yet exaltest thou thyself against my people, and thou will not let them go. Do you realize that God had a purpose in Pharaoh's life? That he was going to demonstrate his power and his glory? And Pharaoh resisted that foolishly? How about Nebuchadnezzar? In Daniel chapter 4, he said, the king spake and said, is not this great Babylon? Is this not great Babylon that I have built for the house of his kingdom by my might and my power? And for the honor of my majesty, didn't I tell you about this? Man is looking for his own glory and thinks he's the captain of his own faith. Here we have a king, a mighty king, Nebuchadnezzar, declaring it, actually articulating out loud so that people could hear what you and I, we don't want to mention it because, you know, that would be proud. But we think it. or we act it. And while the word was yet in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee, and they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and seven times shall pass over thee, until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to him whomsoever he will. Me, 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 I do what I want. You think you do. Until God says, that's enough of that. And then it's all over. Pilate. In John chapter 19 and verse 10, Pilate said unto Jesus, speakest thou not unto me? Oh, the arrogance. You're not going to talk to me. Do you know who I am? I'm Pilate. Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee? And I have power to release thee? Don't you realize, Jesus, your fate is in my hand, said Pilate. Your fate, Christ's fate is in Pilate's hand. The arrogancy. The pride. Don't you know I've got power to crucify you and I've got power to release you? Show me some respect. Isn't it amazing that men understand where respect comes from? And yet they don't want to show God respect. And then Jesus answered. Pilate spouted, and then Jesus answered. Thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin. Where does power come from? It comes from the Lord. You're worried about our political state? You worried about what's coming, what's going to happen? It might get bad. But you know what? Bad or good, the Lord is in control. Romans in chapter 9 and verse 15, for he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will he hardeneth. Thou wilt say then unto me, why doth he yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will? Nay, but, O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? What if God, willing to show his wrath and make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction? And that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy which he had before prepared unto glory. Even us, whom he hath called, not of the Jews only, but also the Gentiles. Do you understand that the potter has power over the clay, and the clay does not have power over the potter? Do you understand that there is an order? It's the Creator that decides things, not the created. It's the designer that designs things and not the design. And it's God that created you and I. It is the Lord that ruleth in the hearts of men. A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. It is the Lord. I think the sooner we realize that, the better off we're going to be. Psalms in 37, verse 23. Brother Robert mentioned this verse this morning to me, and I thought, well, maybe the Spirit's moving. He says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. And this is the confidence that you and I have, that we are in the hands of God.
Amen.
And it's God that's holding on to us, and it's not us holding on to God.
Amen.
It's God that's controlling and directing our steps. It's not us deciding and making mistakes. It's God that's directing us. It's God that has control. And if there's no other verse in all the Bible that tells us about the security we have in Christ, it's the fact that we are in the hand of God.
Amen.
So why are we anxious? Why do we fret? Why are we so full of care? Do you know the Lord is called the first and the last?
Amen.
Have you ever contemplated that? How can you be first and the last? He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. Do you realize that God knows all things?
Yes.
Do you realize that by God all things consist? Do you remember these verses? That God is in control? Have you ever considered the prophecies in the Bible? Where God says, this and this is going to happen. And then it happened? Isn't that amazing? Doesn't that tell you, doesn't that give you confidence in the Lord that directs our steps? That He knows what's going to happen? Look what he says about Saul of Tarsus. He tells a young man to go talk to him. In Acts chapter 9 and verse 15, we pick it up. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he's talking about Paul, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Paul is sitting somewhere blinded after going to Damascus, and he's blinded by the Lord, and he has no idea what's going on, and the Lord is talking to this young man to go tell Saul this is what's going to happen. And you know what? You read the rest of the book of Acts, and that's exactly what happened. Because he that is called Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, he knows all things. And he it is that directs our steps and directed Saul's or Paul's steps. And he directs our steps. I've got three more examples and I want to conclude. I'm saying all of this to reach my conclusion. Have you considered Joseph of the Old Testament? He's a young man. He gets this vision that his brothers are going to bow down before him. His brothers are going to show him respect. And even his parents, he gets this vision. You know the story. The brothers are jealous or envious of him. They plot to kill him. They ended up selling him in Egypt. You know the story. Yeah? But do you remember who it was that gave Joseph the vision? It was the Lord that gave him the vision. And all of Joseph's life is being played out as we read it in Genesis. All the things happening to him. But it was the Lord that spoke the word, and who can let it or who can hinder it? It was the Lord that gave the counsel. Who can stop it? Shall not he complete? Shall he not do it is what the Lord said. Shall I not do it? He's going to do it. But yet, Joseph, standing so clear to the mosaic, couldn't see it. He had the promise. Well, let's pick it up here. In Psalm 105 and 17, he says, he sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant, whose feet they hurt with fetters. He was laid in iron. Until the time of his word, God's word came, the word of the Lord tried him. And that is the problem, isn't it? We devise things. We plan things. I am sure that Joseph did not think he was going to end up in a pit. He had no idea, no plans. Surely it wasn't his intentions. He didn't go to his brothers and say, "Hey, brothers, I got a great plan. Why don't you sell me into Egypt? I'll make a great slave." That wasn't in his plans. He wasn't thinking that. But God was working it out. And don't you know that afflicted Joseph as he sat down in that pit that first time? Oh, the first few minutes I can imagine. All right, guys. Okay, yeah. The joke's over. Okay. All right, guys. Hey, can you hear me? Hey, all right. It's been 10 minutes now. Enough is enough. You made your point. Okay, you can let me out now. And the hour passes. They're cooking dinner. And he's watching his son pass over. And then he hears this camels and I don't know what other animals, horses probably, coming up. And then he hears them negotiating up there. "Okay, guys, you can pull me out." Finally, they're pulling him out. He says, "Hey, guys, I don't appreciate the joke. I don't appreciate what you've been doing." And the next thing you know, they got him tied up and sold into slavery. What's going on with this? And you know the rest of the story, right? And he ends up in a dungeon. And he hadn't done anything wrong. And he ends up in a dungeon, and the word of the Lord tried him until the word came. And then look in Genesis chapter 50. His brothers come into Egypt. And you know what God had to do to get his brothers down to Egypt? He had to send a famine into Canaan and into Egypt. All of that God was plotting in order to get his brothers to come to Egypt so that they could fulfill the word that he gave to Joseph all those years earlier. God was working. Do you remember the very beginning? I'm going all around Michigan. Lindell, he's going all over Texas and out to New Mexico for a moment, and then up to Alaska, and he's going around. And where are you going? You guys are going around, and we're looking at the anthill, and we think, chaos! And God says, "I got it all under control. They're going to be right exactly where I want them to be. They're going to meet up exactly at the place that I want them to be." And so we pick up the story in Genesis chapter 50. Joseph's revealed themselves unto their brother, and their brother realized, "This guy's got some power. I think we're in trouble. I think we're trouble. I think, it's payday now." And look what it says in verse 19. Joseph said unto them, Fear not, for I am in the place of God. But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now therefore fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. Did you hear what he said? Ye devised this for evil, but God directed my steps. You had your intentions. You meant this for evil, but God directed my steps. Therefore, don't fear. God's worked it out. And I've gotten my life into submission to the will of God. And I'm not looking for vengeance because I figured it out that God's got it under control. And I'm submitted to Him. Changes your attitude, doesn't it? Without that recognition of the will of God, I'm sure Joseph might have had his servants take the heads off of his brothers. One at a time, having them watch the other ones so he could get his vengeance. But he figured out the will of God. And once he figured out the will of God, his life was at peace. Let's pick up the story of Christ in Acts chapter 2. Peter's preaching unto them, and he says, "Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs," there you go, "which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God ye have taken by wicked hands and have crucified and slain. But then it says God raised him up. Those wicked men, they thought they were in control, but even that was in the plan of God. They were devising, but God was directing. How many of you know where Jesus was born? Anybody want to give me a guess? Bethlehem. Do you know it was prophesied that he was going to be born in Bethlehem hundreds of years before he was ever born? But did you realize for him to be born in Bethlehem, there has to be a Bethlehem? Do you know what it takes to build a city? Do you know how many lives that God had to direct so that there would be a city called Bethlehem in order for Jesus Christ to be born in Bethlehem? Do you know that cities go, come and go? There are cities that aren't on the map anymore. They used to be. There are cities that are buried and new cities on top of them. Bethlehem. Listen what the prophet says. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me, that is to be a ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. And the scripture said that Christ cometh of the seed of David out of the town of Bethlehem where David was. If you thought about Bethlehem, Bethlehem is the town where Rachel died. Bethlehem is the town where David got thirsty and his mighty men went into the city to draw out water from the well of Bethlehem. Bethlehem is the city where Naomi and Ruth went back into. Bethlehem, that's the city of our king. That's the city of our Lord. That was where he was born. And it was prophesied. And God had to work all that out so that Christ, the Son of David, could be born in Bethlehem. And the very fact that we say the Son of David shows the miracle of God. Because there are women in this congregation and other congregations that cannot have children. Did you know lineages end? There's no more children. They're all killed, they all die, so there's no more. How is it that it worked out that David's generation would follow all the way through to become the Mary, a virgin, and she gives birth in the city of Bethlehem? It's God that directs steps. It's all the way through the scriptures that God is in control, that men plot and they plan. And they boast themselves and they brag. But it's God that's in control. And I said that all this to say this. I said all of that to say this. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. To them who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. Amen. Did you get it? Could you stand back away from the mosaic and see the hand of God? That God is directing your steps and that God is going to fulfill His will. And if you hear His voice, it behooves you to respond. Amen. Nobody in the history of man has won in a battle with the Lord and resisting His will. But oh, what peace are those that have submitted unto His will. Oh, what joy and salvation and what provision the Lord has given to those that have come to the place and says, not my will, but thine be done. Amen. Would you submit to the Lord today? You can't resist Him. You might kick against the pricks, but you can't resist Him. He is in control, and the sooner you submit to Him, the better for you. The better for you. Let's pray. Father in heaven, you are God. And better yet, you're our God. And we're so thankful. Father, we're careful about too much. We're anxious about things that we shouldn't be anxious about. Lord, we're worried about our politicians and our country. And Lord, you told us to watch and pray, that we ought to trust in you. Lord, help us to trust in you. You will do it. Your will be done. Help us to trust in you. Lord, if there's somebody in the sound of my voice that doesn't know you as their Savior, may they submit to your will. For we thank you for that promise that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.